couple months ago, somebody asked me a question. So the background of the question was that he was on vacation, and he went to one of these resorts in Europe, someplace, I don't know where. And being that it was already the summer months, the beginning of the summer, it was very, very, very long, long Shabbos afternoon. And he came to this realization that he has absolutely nothing to do on Shabbat during this long day on vacation. So he asked me if he's allowed to, because it was some kind of a hotel, spa, whatever, he asked if he could order a massage on Shabbat. So he says, can you have a massage? Can you have a massage with oil, without oil? And so that's giving me all these various possibilities. Now, the truth is that I didn't know in terms of with oil, without. I mean, I'll get to it in a second, but I felt that I really need to do proper research. But in the last couple of months, nobody offered to send me to a spa to do proper research on this. So we'll have to lie instead. So instead we'll have to deal with the theoretical question. So, and it's interesting because the juxtaposition of the two issues, namely the use of oil and the massage versus the massage, these two set up two independent halachic issues. There are some halachic authorities who right away on a knee-jerk level would say that there was a problem with the putting oil on because of memachek. Now, if you don't know what memachek is, don't worry. We will, b'li neder, come back and have a much fuller discussion about memachek at some point in the future and to see how it's been used. What memachek would mean is to, okay, for example, memachek is probably what you've been told why you can't use solid soap on Shabbat and you need to use liquid soap on Shabbat. Now, the only thing I'll say about that right now, the only question I'll say about that, is that true? So I'll just leave that aside. But memachek would be changing the form of something. So therefore, theoretically, if you were to take some type of creams and you would rub it onto the body, so then as you would rub these creams on, you'd be changing the form from cream into something else. Now, as I said, this whole question of use of cream and use of various things and rubbing on skin, I will come back to b'li neder at a different point. But if one is talking about oil, which is, say, for the argument's sake, is the consistency of baby oil, or for that matter, of olive oil, so it's very hard for me to understand where the mamachek is over here, because it's not changing form in any way. It's just making your body greasy. Why would that be mamachek? So the whole argument of mamachek, I'm just going to push aside for a second. But as I said, while on the one hand, these are two separate issues, one, the putting the oil on the body, the second, the massage, interestingly enough, they come together in the Mishnah, literally one word after the other, and let's take a look at the Mishnah in source number one. It says, Sachin umimash mishin, avalo mit amlin, velo mit garurin. The English was better for you there. Sachin is what you do with oil. You put oil on, which means you may put oil on your body. So as far as putting oil on, that's very, very simple that that's allowed. If, again, for whatever reason, you want to take oil and put it on your skin.
Sun oil?
If you want to take oil and put it on your skin, for whatever reason you want to put it on your skin, we just now saw a Mishnah that said that is allowed. One is allowed to put oil on their skin. I mean, I don't know any other way of reading the Mishnah. Sachin mash mashin. Then it continues, avalo mit amlin. You're not allowed to do something which is mit amlin. Now, the question, of course, is going to be, what is mit amlin? Some of you may say right away, wow, that sounds a little similar to hit amlut. And what is hit amlut? Hit amlut is something that we would translate as exercise, calisthenics, or something to the like. So we're going to find over here three different opinions among the Rishonim for what mit amlin means. And so far, what do we know? That you can put oil on. So far, you can put oil on, but you can't do whatever this other thing is. And also, there's a lo mit garurin. You also can't do whatever this girui is. Rashi explains, excuse me? Look at source number two, Rashi. Sachin, shemen b'shabbat. That you're allowed to rub, allowed to put oil on. Right? Umimashmashin, biyad, I'll call haguf lahana'a. You, for, again, we're not talking about any kind of medicinal purpose. We're not talking about any, you want to put oil on your body for whatever the reason may be. It says that one is permitted to do this. Okay? Avalo mit amlin, Rashi explains, l'shafshef b'koach. So what does l'shafshef b'koach means? There Rashi seems to be saying, you can't do it with a great deal of strength. So this would sound very much, if I were to read the Mishnah with a massage. So if I read Rashi over here, look at this. I have, as I said, in one Mishnah, one after the other, and then our question would be, if we were to decide this just based upon Rashi, then what would our answer be? Yes, you can put the oil on, but no, you can't have the massage. Now, I don't know, his question was the other way around. Can you have the massage without the oil? So then to say, you can put the oil on, but you can't have the massage, I don't know how helpful that may be. It may be helpful for other people who, for whatever reason, want to put oil on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What about suntan lotion? I mean, there are many doctors today who are very concerned with excess, or sometimes almost any. One second. Access contact with the sun. So personally, now it could be by the time I finish the shir on mamachik, then I won't bother with this. Personally, I don't put on suntan lotion on Shabbat, but I have a spray, which is almost oil.
And you have to rub it in.
Yeah, so you're allowed.
So you
can. Yeah, you're allowed to. You'll see in a second what
we're suntan cream, lotion, and suntan oil.
Right. So therefore, putting on oil would be okay, and that's not for medicinal purposes. That's in order to prevent. We'll get to medicinal. I mean, you could be medayik in Rashi that he said you can do I'll call laguf lahana'a. You can do it. He didn't say lerfu'a. Lahana'a, you could do it. So what that word lahana'a is? Excuse me? Lo. Okay? Maybe not. So hold on to that. The Gemara continues on the next amud, the next side of the page, which is for us source number three. Sachin umimashmashin tanu rabbanan. Sachinu mashmashim bibnei me'ayim v'shabbat. Now here it gets does sound a bit more like rifu'ah. What are the bnei me'ayim? Your innards, your guts, which means it could be that they felt that if somebody had a stomach ache for something, and you can rub some kind of oil on the outside. I mean, please recognize that in antiquity, if they really had to do any kind of medical procedure by opening you up, the odds are very strong that you would die. Almost any type of medicine that they would do would need to be on the outside, right? People did not survive very well when they would open you up because of infection. So over here, again, the Gemara is interesting. It says, Tanu Rabbanan, Sachin u'mashmashim b'bnei me'ayim b'shabbat, u'bilvad shelo yaseh k'derech shu'oseh b'chol. But you shouldn't do it the same way that you do it during the week. So over here, what the Gemara now is setting up, this is going to be a behavior which is an acceptable behavior, but it's saying don't do it, what we call sometimes uvda dechol, which is Aramaic, don't do it the same way that you do it during the week. Instead, what does it say? And now we have two different solutions, and we'll need to see which solution is accepted. Hechi avid, what should he do? Echu poel, echu oved, hechi avid, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina amar, Sach, he says, what do? That first you put on the oil, the acharkach mimashmesh. First you put on the oil, and then you rub. And that's how you do it different. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Sach umimashmesh bivatachat. That Rabbi Yochanan understands the way you would normally do it is the way that the other opinion said, that first you'd put it on and then you'd rub. So what he says is, no, take the oil and put it on and rub it softly at the same time. And Rabbi Yochanan says that would be the acceptable way of doing it, but to put it on and then to rub afterwards would not. I will save you the suspense. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan in this. I'm sorry if I ruined the suspense.
Is it based on what was done normally?
Yes. Yes.
So the question is, what is done normally?
Right.
One of the two could be normal. So the outer one,
Which he's really getting at is at different times and different places, different things can be considered to be normal, right? I understood. That's what you're saying.
Maybe both are normal, but if you do one way, then I'm so much into the other.
Okay. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that the normal way of doing it is that first you would put the oil on, and then afterwards you'd come back, which I think makes a great deal of sense. And he says, therefore, do it together at the same time. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Yes. Bless you. Why does the Gemara say that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat? Where did the Gemara get that from? What's the answer? The Mishnah. The Mishnah said it. The Mishnah said without any kind of limitation. The Mishnah said, Sachin umimash mishin. The Mishnah said you are allowed to put oil on and you're allowed to rub softly. What does the Gemara not, what does the Mishnah not allow? Of a lo mitamlin. How did Rashi understand mitamlin? Bekoach. So therefore, what? How does Rashi understand the sequence over here? Very, very simple. You're allowed to put oil on, and you're allowed to rub very, very gently. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can get to the very end. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the conclusion would be, oil you take on, and you can rub on very lightly. Don't put it on your whole body first, and then, put it on a part. You want to rub that part, fine. But, what would he say? But you can't use a great deal of strength, which we would understand. Again, you look at the words of Rashi in 2, biyad akol guf lahana, avol molotunim l'shafshef bikoach. I use the word great deal of strength. Now, you can argue with me. And so, by the way, some of the poskim, the achronim, they have difficulty with this. Okay, how much strength is considered strength? Which means how light a massage is considered to be okay, and how hard does it need to be considered to be not okay. So here we have somewhat of a tension, but what we know is that if you put it lightly is okay, with strength is not okay, yes.
Is there any distinction made between doing it to yourself or having someone do it to you?
I haven't seen that as a distinction. Because by the way, in the question that I brought up in the beginning, you can also say maybe a non-Jew doing it for you could be an additional reason to allow it. Okay, Rabbeinu Chananel in source number 4. Rabbeinu Chananel is one of the very ancient commentaries on the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel says, first of all, you thought I made it up, he says, V'hilchotak Rav Yochanan. First of all, there you see black and white. I mean, as I said, you'll see others who say it, but I don't recall anybody disagreeing with this. The loch is like Rav Yochanan. Okay, that was pretty similar to what we'd seen in Rashi. What are you allowed to do? You're allowed to, you have a better word? Because we can't use the word massage. What word would you use? You're allowed to gently?
Rub.
I think even rub, yeah. Even rub, lightly rub the oil on. That's okay. But a real massage, when you're using koach, right? When you're using strength, that we're told is not okay. Then he gives us an interesting interpretation of the next line, and he deviates from Rashi, and it's not that he would have seen Rashi or been bothered by Rashi, but he deviates from what we've seen in Rashi, because Rashi had a very nice continuation of the previous thought, and he says, Aval lo mitamlin, and it's also you have to realize the strength of Rashi is Aval lo mitamlin, so Rashi thinks it's a continuation, which makes a great deal of sense. He says, Pirish poshtin umikaplin zarotehen lefnehim ulacharehim v'chein raglehen agabe yarchotehen umitchamemim umazi'in v'hu kimin ma'aseru fa'a v'asur. What did he just now describe?
Exercise.
Calisthenics. Right? Arms in, out, up, down, legs. He just now described for us calisthenics. So why did he describe calisthenics? What was the word in Hebrew? Mitamlin. So how do you understand mitamlin? Hitamlut. So therefore he says, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to put oil gently on your body. Rashi, again, continued very nicely. And he says, no, aval ein mitamlin, there are certain things you can do with your body, certain things that you can't do. What can't you do? You can't do, I'm right now going to throw, so I was going to throw in one word, therefore, and that word would have been strenuous exercise.
So when you see people walking on Shabbat,
I'm going to get to that.
Not
I'm going to get to that. Walking on Shabbat, Bali Nedir, we're going to talk about next week. Okay? Jogging on Shabbat, we'll talk about next week. Anything else, Shabbat walk, we'll talk about next week. Next week's title, I already had, was something like walking, jogging, brisk walking, and running on Shabbat. Or if that's the order.
What?
According to Rashi, we were continuing from the oil. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, this is, nothing to do with oil anymore. He would read the Mishnah. And by the way, you don't appreciate this, but you see these three dots before Sachin? The Mishnah spoke about other things, and there's other things it speaks about afterwards, which means to just take two things out of context, then you would think, oh, these things must be connected. Rabbeinu Hananel thinks they're not connected. It's just a continuation of another thing that you can do. And he's reading the words. You can put oil on, but you can't exercise. That's what the word said. So it has nothing to do with the massage. But, so out of from Rabbeinu Hananel, we got another thing. Again, I chose to translate this as strenuous exercise. Why did I choose to translate as strenuous exercise? Because of the sweat. He brings the sweat into it, and let's just look at that again. Right? Umitchamimin. What does that mean? You get heated up. Umizi'in. You perspire. Right? V'hu kimin ma'aser refu'ah v'asur. And that's interesting because then it becomes like medicine, and that becomes a problem because we know...
this was modern, but it just started this century.
Yeah. We think we made up a lot of things. But okay, so what does he tell us? That on Shabbat you can't do strenuous exercise, that will lead one to perspire. Okay, so that was Rabbeinu Hananel's interpretation. The Rambam in source number 5. And it's always interesting when you read things about taking care of the body from the Rambam, who, again, was a physician and maybe was sensitive to some of this. Sachin u'mimashmishim b'vnei me'ayim b'shabbat, v'hu she'asuch v'yimashmish b'vat achad, k'dei she'lo yaseh k'derech she'oseh b'chol. Who does he rule like? Rabbi Yochanan. So again, I told you, I don't have to prove this point, but halach is like Rabbi Yochanan. Ve'ein mit'amlin b'shabbat. So now he quotes the phrase, and he says, Ezehu mit'amel. What does it mean, lehit'amel? Ze shedorsim al gufo b'koach. Now you can try to understand what that means. What does it mean, dorsim al gufo? It could be walking, but it means pressing. Dores is also to press. You're thinking in terms of stepping. Halicha. Dorsim al gufo b'koach ad sheyagia v'yazia. Until you get exhausted and you sweat, oh, sheyohalech ad sheyagia v'yazia. He also uses walking over here until one gets exhausted and sweats. Again, that point, anything else you have to ask me about walking, fast walking, jogging, running, next week. Sheasur liyageya etatzmo, you are not allowed to exhaust yourself. Asur liyageya etatzmo, kidei sheyazia b'shabbat b'bnei shehi refu'ah. So the Rambam says, what is behind this? Again, he's very similar to Rabbeinu Hananel, but he's still different, which means he really ends up becoming a position somewhat between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. Right, you see that? You're not allowed to cause somebody to sweat, okay? So, right. You're not allowed to cause somebody to sweat. So it sounds over here is that the work that you're doing on the victim is whatever. I've done physiotherapy, the victim. The work that you're doing on the victim over here is causing them to heat up and to sweat. So again, what's interesting, what did Rashi say? Rashi understood is talking about massage. What did Rabbeinu Hananel said is talking about exercise or calisthenics. What does the Rambam say? And what's the problem with calisthenics? It's going to make you sweat. What does the Rambam say? He says pressing on the body. Now that could also very well be a massage, pressing on the body, right? Pressing on the body in order to make the person sweat. So according to the Rambam, when would the prohibition be? It sounds only if the intention is to make them sweat. I mean, again, if you're not convinced of that, let's read it again. The last part. Oil was allowed. That was that was independent. Independently, oil's allowed. So nothing to talk about. Oil is allowed. Done. Okay. Oil. Right. One second. Oil is allowed. Once oil's allowed, the problem with massage has nothing to do with the oil. So oil's allowed. Once it's allowed, put it on the side. Don't keep asking about it, because sooner or later, rabbi's going to tell you, okay, you know what? You can't do it. Oil is allowed. The Mishnah said oil is allowed. The Gemara said the oil is allowed. The Rambam said the oil is allowed. All they told you, the Mishnah didn't say, the other said, do it a little differently than you do during the week. During the week, you can pour it on, and then afterwards, over here, you do it together. Okay? So that's allowed. The problem of a massage, one way or the other, is independent of the oil, which is allowed. According to Rashi, what we would now call a light massage would be okay. What's a Swedish massage? Do you need somebody Swedish to do this, or... She ha- yeah? Okay.
I don't know what they are, but I know that when they advertise...
These are techniques. Okay. These are techniques, not... Okay.
Many, many different... I think Swedish massage is one that they really pound you.
Where they pound you? Ah, so this...
Not
shiatsu.
Not pound, but they get down...
Okay.
Deep tissue.
Okay. Those of you with knowledge, don't be embarrassed. Please share the knowledge over here. The Rambam says over here, "Asur liyageya etatzmo kidei sheyaziya b'shabbat neshihi refuah," that one cannot do something which will exhaust them in order to sweat. Now, of course, you can now ask, according to the Rambam, what if you're going to do something which is exhausting, but you're not going to sweat? Is that, or what if you can do exhausting which will make you sweat, but that's not your intention? And any of you now can ask, if a hot day like yesterday, if you wanted to walk to shul, you would have perspired. Okay, some of you would sweat. Yeah, right, right. But I would assure you that in all those cases, you're not getting out of your house and saying, "This is great because now I'm going to get to sweat." Most of you are most likely saying, "That's not exactly what I would prefer to happen." Okay. Right. Absolutely. Kidei sheyaziya b'shabbat mibnei shehi refuah. Now, mibnei shehi refuah. Right, but mibnei refuah is now a value judgment. If you do this to make yourself sweat, then that is for medicinal purposes. Yeah.
I don't understand why you can't do something on the refuah.
Okay, so that we have to get to. No. Let's wait. Listen, I'll be the rabbi. Wait. Okay. Source number six. Sachin, this is the Shulchan Aruch. And I gave you the Shulchan Aruch in English and the Mishnah Berurah in English this time. You'll have to tell me if you want me to keep on bothering doing that or not. Let's read. Sachin umimash mishin lahanato al yidei shinui. You are allowed to put oil on and to... gently massage. How does he say it? He says one may anoint and rub for. Okay, rub is as good as anything else. Lahanato al yidei shinui. So basically, the Shulchan Aruch over here tells us almost exactly what Rashi said. Correct? Right, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi and so on. Dahainu shesach umashmesh biyachad v'lo yimashmesh bekoach ella birifyon yadayim. But you shouldn't do it with strength, but what does Rifyon Yadayim mean?
It means very, very gently.
So, who does the... No, Rifyon Yadayim would mean gently. Again, it's very difficult over here to say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is soft and what is considered to be hard. If you are exerting yourself and working really hard, it's not allowed. If you're doing it softly, then it is allowed. Okay? Who does the Shulchan Aruch rule like? We had three possibilities. Who are our three possibilities?
Rashi.
We had Rashi, we had the Rambam, we had Rabbeinu Hananel. Who does he rule like?
One of them.
No? Rashi. This is Rashi. Why? Because Rashi was the one who said... Okay, look at source number two again. V'lo mitamlim l'shavshef b'koach. So what does it say over here? V'lo mashvesh b'koach el rufyon yadayim. This is directly Rashi, which means what's missing over here? If you wanted to bring Rabbeinu Hananel or the Rambam into this, there's one element which is missing in the Shulchan Aruch. Sweat. Which is both Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam, they introduced this issue of perspiration. That's what makes it problematic. Rashi was the one who says that working hard is what makes it problematic, which means that according to Rashi, the distinction of what's allowed and not allowed is soft versus doing it with strength. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, he spoke Bichlal, he spoke on something. He doesn't talk about massage. What was he talking about? He was talking about calisthenics. And he goes, but the problem with the calisthenics is the sweat, and that becomes like refuah. The Rambam says in order to do it hard for the purpose of sweating, because that's refuah. Over here, Rashi was the one who said that massaging hard without introducing anything about sweat sounds exactly what the Shulchan Aruch. I think that's really the element that gets you to refuah, but I'm just pointing out that when you read the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, you almost can't, I don't know how, actually, you have a choice, other than conclude that he's ruling like Rashi. Look at the Mishnah Brura in source number 7, page number 2. The pages may not be in order again. It's hard to get good help these days. No, I can't tell you. Sometimes they add words in that are not in the Hebrew, and those are between the slashes, which means they use explanatory words, so they want you to know that word is not in the Hebrew, so therefore they put the slashes around it. Because if it was just literal translation, then you would also be lost, because there's more words in English than in Hebrew. Source number 7. Mishnah Berurah, Sachin Mashim Hainu, Shesachin B'Shemin, Mashim B'Yad, Al Kol Haguf L'Hana'ah. That one is allowed to take oil and put it on. Okay, so he's saying the Mishnah Berurah saying black and white. And what does he say? The Mishnah Berurah was written with footnotes. So you see right after the word hainu, hey, that hey is his footnote, which is the Sharet Zion, which is the next line. So what do you learn there? Whose opinion is that? Rashi. So now you realize, again, what we had concluded is, I think, very, very simple. Next, but you can do it differently. Ayidei Shinoi. Source 8, Mikfi haragil la'asot b'chol, she'ein derko az l'suchu mishmesh b'yachad. Okay, like Rabbi Yochanan. 9, b'koach. What's the problem doing b'koach? Duhu uvdin d'chol. That if you do it, the English here says, vigorously, then it becomes like weekday activity. But he says, then take a look in Simon Shin Kav Chet, which we will momentarily. D'la harambam, Mutter kol she'einu mechavein l'viatzmo ayudei ze lidei ze'ah. Right? And look further, because according to the Rambam, it's only not allowed if your intention is to make you sweat. You agree now with what the Mishnah Berurah said? So, to briefly conclude, we have three different opinions. The Shulchan Aruch rules like Rashi. So therefore, what if you want to make yourself sweat? That the Shulchan Aruch didn't seem to introduce at all, only the opinion of Rashi, which means the problem is the massage. So if we were to conclude right now, what would our conclusion be? You could put oil on your body. You will have to tell me which one of the 100 massages is a very, very light massage. Then if you put the oil on and do a very, very light massage, that would possibly be allowed. No, I take away the word possibly. That would be allowed. The problem would be if somebody really uses strength and that just the strength by itself. Forget about any perspiration issues. That, according to Rashi, is the problem. That is what we find here ruled in the Shulchan Aruch. Till now, everything was simple, right? Now, we come across something which is, to me at least, somewhat intriguing. In source number 10, we have in Siman Shin Kav Chet, which already the Mishnah Berurah said, well, take a look what we have over there. Shin Kav Chet, which is one thing after Shin Kav Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein mit amlin, you're not allowed to do hit amlut. Now, hold it a second. What did the Gemara say was hit amlut? The Gemara didn't tell us what it meant. What did Rashi say it meant? It meant massaging hard, right? That already he talked about. So why now is he coming back and talking about hitamlut again? Not only does he come back and talk about it again, take a look what he says about it. Ein mitamlin haynu shadoreis ala guf bikoach. Whose opinion is that? It's one out of two at this point. Rabbeinu Chananel talked about calisthenics, but he didn't say doreis ala guf. Those words, even, deres el guf, was the opinion of the Rambam. Now, this is very strange. And let me just read the whole thing through, and what's strange, I think you'll understand. Ein mitamlin haynu shadoreis el guf bikoach kedei sheyagia v'yazia. You're not allowed to press the body hard because that will cause you to sweat and to get exhausted to sweat. And then he goes into something else, which is the next law, which I don't think we'll have to get into. Now, what's strange here is that I would have thought, not only would have I thought, I did think, till I looked at this, I would have thought that we had a machloket. I mean, that happens all the time. You have a line in the Gemara, then you have one or two or three or four different Rishonim learning it differently, and then the Shulchan Aruch will come and rule like one of these opinions. Over here in this case, the Shulchan Aruch goes and rules like two of the opinions. It ruled like Rashi by telling us that you are not allowed to massage vigorously in the previous halacha, which was Rashi's understanding of mitamlin, and then he comes back and tells us the Rambam's understanding of hitamlut, you're not allowed to press hard in order to make somebody sweat, which is very strange that he would have brought both of these laws in, which I could have thought were mutually exclusive. So therefore, what do I have to conclude, at least as an initial conclusion, that according to the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. That would be the initial conclusion, but now I have to figure out why that is, or really what's going on, and does normative halacha represent both of these opinions, or does normative halacha represent one of these opinions? And that, by the way, is going to be really the whole issue over here. That's really what it comes down to. The Bach in Shin Kav Zayin and Shin Kav Chet observes the problem that I just now pointed out, and that's sources 11 and 12. 11, he writes, and this is by the earlier source, Sakin mimashim b'chol aguf ki depirish Rashi, b'adetan av alo mitamlin, aval haramam kontav pirish acher. Right, and the Rambam gave a different interpretation, kitru abein b'sof simin shin kavchet, and that he came back to over there in shin kavchet. So the observation that the Mechaber ruled like both of the opinions the Bach makes in 11. In source number 12, he does the same, and now this is by Shin Kav Chet, he writes, Katav Rambam ein mitamlim, afal pi she debisimen Shin Kav Zayin katav Rabbeinu kipirish Rashi, al hachta ein mitamlim, sfiri le Rabbeinu del inyan dina lo plige vize aser. So he says that the Bach says that the Mechaber must come to the conclusion that Rashi and the Rambam are not arguing, and both of these things are things which are not allowed. That means when it says mitamlin, it includes both of them. Because that must be the Mechaber's understanding, that mitamlin on the one hand means vigorous, strong massages, and on the other hand, it means causing somebody to sweat for the sake of refuah. I mean, you still would be left with a problem. According to the Rambam, for example, what if you can make somebody sweat with a massage which is not vigorous, but it would make somebody sweat? So according to the Rambam, it would be usur. According to Rashi, that would be mutter. So simply to say that he rules like both, I'm saying there can be gray area in between, but that sounds to be the conclusion, that both of these things are not allowed, even though Rashi and the Rambam themselves don't necessarily agree with one another in every single case because their reasons are not necessarily the same. One second. I cannot say the whole thing is based on that because Rashi never introduced the word sweating into the equation. That was only Rabbeinu Chanan on the Rambam. And to answer your question, in this particular halacha, yes, they think that sweating is connected to refuah. And let's take a look a little bit more about that. In the Bir Halacha, which is the bottom of 2 and the top of page 3, Kidei Shagia V'Yazia, because you're going to sweat, Zehu Miloshon Rambam, B'Biro, Al Ein Mit Amlin, V'Rashi, Shampirish dahainu shemishav sheif bekoach umashma filu umenu mazia vehitiku hatur veshulchan aruch leel b'shin kav zayin sif bet v'divrei shulchan aruch kasha lefize v'alze ramaz hagra leel sham ayin shan uladina katav el yuraba yesh lefsok b'zekei Rambam. So this is very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah, who's also the Bir Halacha, he has three commentaries on the same page. The Mishnah Berurah is the running commentary. The Bir Halacha is when he goes in a little bit more depth on a point. And the Shartzion is his footnotes to the Mishnah Berurah. So over here in the Bir Halacha, he observes that the Mechaber rules like both, and he's not comfortable with it. He says, Why is he ruling like both? And therefore, he brings an opinion. He says the Gra hinted at this, that this was problematic. And the El Yerabah tells us the halacha is like the Rambam, which means what is the El Yerabah doing? El Yerabah, and he's bringing this, and it sounds like he concurs. What does the El Yerabah say? That if I have these two laws in the Shulchan Aruch, the law doesn't follow one of the laws in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I hope that this doesn't sound radical to you, but this is what sometimes the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch did. They didn't necessarily accept every word that Rav Yosef Karo wrote, especially in a case like this, where, again, you have two possibilities. One is he's saying that both of them are not allowed. Two, you can say that in a sense he's contradicting himself, because ultimately what we do is try to understand what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, Ein mitamlin. Different Rishonim gave different interpretations. So El Yerabi says, you can't do that. One of them are right. Now others will say, like the Bach, what do we notice? He rules like both, and therefore both are not allowed. So what we're going to end up over here, even though the Shulchan Aruch brings it, the later poskim now are going to have at least a window of opportunity over here to say, or a little bit of leeway of saying, hold it, I agree with the Shulchan Aruch in his deciding that both are not allowed. Or I don't necessarily accept the Shulchan Aruch that both are not allowed. Over here, the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha sounds to me, do you agree with that? He sounds like he's leaning towards this position of the El Yerabah, that we don't necessarily rule like both of them, and it sounds like he's leaning towards the Rambam, which means the problem is when it is medicinal, when you make sweat, as we'll explain a little bit more in a moment, but the opinion of Rashi, that a vigorous massage where the intention is not necessarily to make you sweat, but the intention is to loosen up that muscle, if that's the case, then according to the Rambam, that would be allowed, because that was the point that wasn't allowed according to Rashi. So this El Yerabah over here, quoted by the Bir Halacha, becomes incredibly important. Anything I said in the last 2 minutes clear? Say it again. The Bach is Beit Chadash. It's one of the more ancient commentaries on the Torah Shulchan Aruch. So again. We had three different opinions. Everyone can do a light massage unless the light massage is done with the intention of making you sweat. Because the Rambam says you can't do something with the intention of making somebody sweat. So theoretically, a light massage would not make them sweat, so there's nothing to talk about. But again, the Shulchan Aruch rules like both Rashi and the Rambam. Like Rashi by saying that you are not allowed to do a heavy massage, no discussion of sweat. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to do a heavy massage with the intention to being to sweat. No, exercise of Rabbeinu Hananel. Rambam says you can't do the heavy massage with the intention to make you sweat. Now, it's interesting. Would the Rambam agree with Rabbeinu Hananel? Would he agree with Rabbeinu Hananel if you were trying to get yourself to sweat by doing something else other than, you know, pressing with the body and why he understands this as being pressing? What?
I think he would.
Right, okay. That's a position which we can argue at. It may help us a little bit later on another point.
One thing
you're lucky. Okay.
The whole idea of massage seems to be against the spirit of Shabbat. To me.
Okay.
And so what would be the purpose of doing a massage? What would someone want to do it on Shabbat?
I don't know. Why would they want to do it during the week? First explain that to me.
It relaxes exactly. You.
There's not an accident that I haven't had one. But why is it again? Okay, I can say Shabbos is a day of relaxation. So I'm saying the same reason to do it before you do it on Shabbat. I'm not sure.
Didn't they say it was coming out as part of owning Shabbos?
Yeah, you could say it's owning Shabbos. Okay, I think we need to go on a class trip to a spa. We need to do research. We need to. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay, so let's get back to what kind of refuah is allowed and not allowed. And in order to do this, take a look at well, let's take a look at source 16, and then we'll go backwards in a moment. Source 16 is the Mishnah Brura. Kidei Shagia V'Yazea V'hi B'chlau Refuah. And this is included within healing. Ve'ein lahakshot, and when he says ein lahakshot, you know it's going to be a good question, and you're going to be far more bothered by this question than you will be by the answer. The ein lak shot kevin she'ein kan she'chut shechikat samamanim ha'ilanu lahatir, which means there's no. What's the reason you can't do refuah on Shabbat? Because you may come to take out what's that? Your mortar and your pestle, and you may come and take your herbs and start pressing them. So. So he says, right. He says, and by the way, I did find some of the poskim getting involved in that question. I mean, today, I don't know how many of you have mortars and pestles at home, and when your pills are, okay. So he says, ve'ein lakshot kevin she'ein kan she'chut shchikat samamanim, and don't ask that building up a sweat has nothing at all to do with your mortar and your pestle. Hainu lanu. Lahatir, we should have allowed it. Kamo, right? To kevin shalapamim mivina zera ayde al hachole gam kenade samanim chayshin cheyasech refuah cheret. That he says, still it's like refuah because still, in his day, he's writing. I think this is true today as well. That if somebody, there are certain medications that will make somebody sweat in order to bring the fever down. That's really. I think medically what they're talking about is that if somebody has a fever, then you want to make them sweat, and that's the refuah. You don't want to make them sweat. But now you're a doctor. One second. You want the, right. So therefore you may take. Very good. So therefore, but if somebody really has a high fever, then if somebody really is a chole, are you allowed to do it? So over here we get into this very, very funny situation, which. We will see a little bit more about this as we continue. But he's saying, why is there a problem with refuah? Because you may come to, meaning refuah, is it a deraita drabanan? It's a drabanan. Why is it a drabanan? Because you may come to make medicine. Now, if you're not convinced of that, he's saying, I know that you may not be convinced by this. Ein lak shot, really don't bother me. This is the reason that it's not allowed, and the certain things not allowed, nay refuah, because you may come to do it. That's a gzerat, it's drabanan. And he goes, that's not on the table for discussion. The prohibition of refuah is not now. As you correctly pointed out, if somebody was dying, if somebody's pikuach nefesh, then this obviously doesn't apply. If somebody's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, right, somebody's in great deal of danger, it doesn't apply. If somebody's a chola sheein bo sakana, then many of these laws aren't going to apply, because then you say, b'makom tzar lo gazru, because the person is in pain, and the rabbinical prohibition doesn't apply. So when does the rabbinical position apply? It applies when you just don't feel well, but you're not really sick. How do I define feel well versus being sick? You're sick if you cannot get out of bed, then you're sick. Or you feel bad enough that if you don't do your medicine, you don't take the preemptive strike, you will end up being in bed and not being able to move. That's considered to be sick. In such a case, you're allowed to take medication. Okay, just cutting through a lot of discussion right now. You're allowed to take medication. If you feel bad enough that you will not be able to get out of bed, you can take medication. That's considered to be a chole she'in bo sakana. Then you can take medication. So who can't take medication on Shabbat? Somebody who's a chole, somebody who yesh lo michush chole. What does michush chole mean? They don't feel well. If you don't feel well, don't take medicine on Shabbat. Unless you don't feel so badly that you won't be able to get out of bed. Or if you don't take the medication, you will become a chole, she'ein bo sakana, or certainly if you will become a chole, she'yesh bo sakana. So if anybody has a condition, they don't take their medication, they may become a chole, she'yesh bo sakana, no question whatsoever, you're allowed to take medication in such a case. In such a situation, the rabbis did not make a gzera. Yeah. Did I teach it?
Yeah.
Good.
That you're allowed to put it on with a roller, it's like a special kind, just for beauty, but if your lips are chapped, you're not allowed.
Do you want me to speak about lip gloss?
Just a whole hour on lip gloss?
Do you want me to do it? Go like this. You really you really don't want me to talk it. Do you want me? I'll give a class on lip gloss if you like.
No, I learned that you're allowed.
So should I say this again? Do you want me to give a class on this? No. Go look. Okay. So I refuse to comment. I refuse to. There's Rishalmi that implies putting anything on the lips is not a drabanan. It's a deraita. Anything on the lips for purpose of beauty, even, so it's a little bit of a problem. Okay, that's what I thought was coming. Okay, In source 14, the Magen Avraham writes, "Ein mitamlin," and over here it told us you can't do the vigorous exercise that will lead you to sweat. "Katav b'shilte giborim," which is the Shilte Giborim reports, "Dafka l'shavshef b'nachat shari," right? The only time you're allowed to do it is if you do it very gently. "V'lo b'koach l'rashi." Ulatur l'Rambam, afilu b'koach shari, you're allowed to do it even with strength. Again, a massage is allowed. Im eino michavein lavo lidei ze'ah. Which, again, so that's what we understood, the difference between Rashi versus between the Rambam. Umesupkani, I'm not sure, b'shivshuv she'ose liyageya koach, kidei lahashiv kochan aleihem, ulvatel mehem ayifutan. Which means, somebody gets up in the morning and they're totally exhausted and nothing's working right and they stretch and they do all kinds of things. He says, why are we doing it then? Again, read his words. That's exactly what he's describing. B'shivshuv she'ose liyagiei koach kidei lahashiv kochan aleihen ulevatel mehen ayifutan. They're not doing it in order to sweat. Why are they doing it? To get the blood, to wake up, to get the blood circulating a bit. So he says, I'm not sure. Im mikrei refuah o ta'anug. Is that something which is called refuah, and then maybe it fits into this whole problematic issue of refuah? Or is that doing, it's not refuah, it's just doing that they should feel better. Because again, you're allowed to rub your body lahanatan, right? On the other hand, you're not allowed to sweat because of the refuah. Over here, again, theoretically, according to the Rambam, such a thing should be allowed. The only question may be, according to Rashi. So he says, I'm just not sure. Yeah. Yes, correct. So he's not talking about sweating whatsoever. He's talking about just doing this because you want to circulate your blood and you want to wake up. So he says, is that allowed? And Magen Avraham ends up not really sure. Right? Imik refor tanug, lefirish rashi v'tor, pshita da'asur, da'afilo tanug asur. So now again we realize the fact that the Mechaber brought both Rashi and the Rambam, am I allowed to just do other kinds of things or not? So the Magen Avraham leaves this with a question mark. Excuse me? I'll get to that in a second. A little more, maybe even a little more than a second, but I'll get to that. Source number 17. As far as I know, it's the first tshuva that actually has our question black and white. Massage b'Shabbat. It has a real interesting preamble, which we'll look at a little of it just because we're here already, but it has nothing to do with our talk today. Hashoel haya tamid vatik, shabet midrash l'rabanim, yisudo shomeran hagon hatzadik, merenu rabav, Azriel Hildesheimer. The person who asked the question was a student in the Hildesheimer Academy, who nispa b'shoah hagdola edei hamaratzchim hagermanim yamach shemam, who yad tzadik tamim osek b'torah yomam v'layla, basically saying the person who asked the question was a very great person who was killed in the Holocaust. Even though he could have saved himself the way the rest of the rabbis in Germany behaved by leaving their flocks, he did not want to abandon his community. And people should know, for history's sake, that there were among the rabbis in Germany people who were incredible tzadikim, chasidim, kedoshim. Asher b'medinot acherot hayu rivavot anashim ratzim achareim linot miziv toratam v'yiratan. Had he lived someplace else, like he lived in Poland or Hungary, thousands of people would have been running after a person like this. Et haschalatam ha'akademit shekiblu b'mechalot Germania horidu l'maradirga shel rakachot v'tabachot mamash. But what happened? The people in Hungary and Poland, the fact that these guys had secular educations, they treated them as if that they were insignificant people. Because, I mean, many of the rabbis in Germany were rabbi doctor, and in Hungary and Poland that just didn't go very well. And he says, you know, for the sake of historical truth, let's recognize a person like this, had he lived in those places, thousands of people would be coming after him, and they only consider their own to be really great rabbis. So this is a very, very, right? Very.
Why did he just preamble?
Excuse me?
Why did he just preamble to begin with?
Because he's already mentioning a question this person asked, and if he feels he doesn't say this, then no one will ever know this. But by the way, the next.
I think it's the question of
you. Right, no, he doesn't get. And he says, Lo yu uman ki supar et tarim akdim, hystiru me in kovel ishtam shubahem, elibim magamil shotono. And then he apologizes a little bit for secular degrees. Anyway, in the next paragraph, he writes, Le dati ra oilik for yom evil vizikaron yuchad lezek rabbane ugtoshe Yisrael, shenehar guv vinisha. He says, there should be Yom HaShoah in the next paragraph. Again, so this is also a very interesting historical document. You can read the rest of this on your own, and then we'll get to the question on the towards the bottom of the page. Now, regarding the thing that the guy actually asked, Im mutar lasot masaj b'shabbat, b'vadei kavanato b'yadayim v'lo yadei mishcha u'chidome. He goes, it certainly must be with hands and not using some kinds of creams. Again, the word mishcha is not the same as shemen. Mishcha would be more of a cream. Nifleti al rav. So-and-so, shahurala asur mishum mimachik. He goes, I'm very surprised about the rabbi who said, you're not allowed to do this. The problem with the massage with cream is because of mimachik. So again, I'm just as shocked as he is, but it depends what kind of cream they used. Mimachik is to change the form of something. So therefore, if there's a thick cream and the guy's massaging in thick cream, some would say, no, that's asur mimachik. So this really comes down to, what kind of cream are you using? Are you using cream? Are you using oil? If you use oil, then it can't be because of a machik. Ubevadei hatzedek im kvodo she'ein b'zeh mishum meroach. Ulafi dati talui zeh b'machloket Rashi v'Rambam. And he goes, but you want to get to the bottom line. This will depend upon the argument between Rashi and Rambam. Prefer she'ein mitamlin regarding the word ein mitamlin. The Rashi asur l'shafshef b'koach v'tam u'mishum uvdi d'chol. U'komod asur l'roots b'shabbat k'mor b'shulchan aruch. Like you're not allowed to run, which we, as I said, we'll get back to. Well, the Rambam, we're skipping a line or two. Rakim kavanato lazia mishim refuah. V'kvar hivio mogen v'ram b'shem ashil tegiborim. Al dada shifshuf sh'osim ligoi koach. Kedei lashiv kochan levatel mehen ayifut. Im davar zed domil refuah v'asura olo ayin sham. So, al kol panim v'nidon didan talui b'sfeko shel ashil tegiborim. Shivio mogen v'ram. What's his conclusion? His conclusion, it depends. Meaning, he doesn't give a... It depends, which means if we follow that El Yerabba that the beer halacha sounded like he was leaning towards, and you say the halacha is like the Rambam, and the only problem is the sweating, so then this should be allowed. If the intention is not to sweat, it should be allowed. So I'm pointing out, I'm not as much going to come over here and tell you this, absolutely, I think this is allowed, not allowed. I'm pointing out that we do have some gray area, and the gray area is interesting because of the... Because of the difference of opinions, what I will do is I will open up the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata. I did collect over here, but once again the photocopy machine wasn't working here, so I did have a whole bunch of more tshuvot that you're not going to get to see. But that was the best one. So first of all, this will excite you to no end. There's a new edition of the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata. It's very big and very heavy, very thick. Now, there are a whole generation of people who are convinced that the first edition of Shemirat Shabbat Kilchata is more lenient than the second edition of Shemirat Shabbat Kilchata. That is common knowledge. This is what they would say conventional wisdom. Because of the Dud Shemesh. I will challenge any and all to give a list of 100 cases where he was strict in the first edition and lenient in the second edition. And I do not think they will find them. It's true that in Dud Shemesh, he was lenient in the first and he was strict in the second. And we went through this in depth. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. We went through this in depth. And I was pretty convinced that his argument in the first edition was very weak. It was pointed out to him that his argument was very weak, and he changed it. There are, by the way, cases, which I could show you if you're very nice, where he was strict in the first edition and he was lenient in the second edition. And I just think it takes a great deal of cynicism for someone to say, oh, he just gave in to pressure and therefore he went in that direction. So, of course, the excitement now with the third edition, some 30 years later, so I'm sure there are people who are combing through this book right now looking for all the instances where he is even more strict because times have changed and so on and so forth. First of all, the edition is very readable. It's bigger, the print. It, on the side, he gives you a synopsis of what he's talking about in each particular paragraph. Makes it very easy to look for things. Secondly, in the end of the book, there's a glossary. There is a list of comparison of chapters and subchapters from the last edition to this edition. There is an incredible index, point by point, in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, where to find the halacha over here. So it's a very user-friendly volume. And this law that we're discussing today, he discusses in two places, which is itself interesting. And he tells you that it's in two places. So let's take a look. The first place we're looking is on the laws of, among other things, washing and anointing on Shabbat and Yom Tov. He writes, "Ein lehitam," and we're not going to talk about oil because we already know that's allowed. Nothing to talk about. Ein letamel b'Shabbat uv'Yom Tov. One should not do exercise on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And he brings among his footnotes, he brings the Sri Deish, he brings some other tshuvot, you can't do exercise. Furthermore, he writes, Ein la'asok b'ripui b'isuk. What's that? You should not do physical therapy. Physical, right? You shouldn't do physical therapy, occupational therapy, on Shabbat. Occupational therapy, af lo b'physiotropy, and not physical therapy as well. V'gam ein lasot targilim b'machshire kosher kol shehem. And one should not use any kind of equipment, any kind of exercise equipment. The Tzitz Eliezer of Olden was asked if you're allowed to use one of these things that people use to stretch. Can use a machine. He says, don't use exercise machines. Aval mutar lasot targilim pshutim bayad. These little ball. Some people need to do some kind of... that you could do. By the way, why would you let him do that? According to the Rambam, why can you do that? Because that's not going to make you sweat. According to Rashi, why should you be allowed to do that? Because it's not exerting yourself. It's not using great. So therefore, that would be allowed. Gam imosek hen kedei l'shachech et ha-ka'ivim. But you're even allowed to do that if you want to take away pain. And then he says, v'ayin l'halan la medalit kaf gimel. But take a look at what I wrote in the other place, which we'll get to. So over here, and he also has a wonderful comment under the paragraph. There's a star and a comment where he writes about occupational and physical therapy. V'tov ya'aseh im yisha'al she'lat chacham ki adavar t'loy b'matzavo ha'gufani shel chole. He says, if somebody needs occupational physical therapy, he just said it's not allowed. But he goes, but if you need it, then go ask a shayla. He's saying, don't trust black and white what I'm writing over here, because there can be extenuating circumstances. Excuse me? Right. He says there can be extenuating circumstances. Ask a she'ela, ask a rabbinic opinion in this case. There's nothing else important in the footnotes over here. He just tells you where he found the various things. We go to his other source, which is in chapter 34, section 23, in the new volume. And by the way, as I looked these laws up, I did compare with the old one. There is nothing more strict over here, what I've seen so far. If I see something, of course, I'll get excited about it also. Ein lasok b'Shabbat b'ripui yisuk o b'physiotropia. You can't on Shabbat. This chapter is called Michushim Miktzat Choli. If somebody doesn't feel well and has, you know, light situations of illness, right? Aches and pains. I mean, that's how we know we're alive still, right? Forget about Descartes, right? Ein lasok b'Shabbat b'ripui b'isuk o b'physiotropia. You cannot do occupational physical therapy. And there's a footnote which I'll get back to in a second. Elim kein hu nimtza b'matzav shel chole she'ein bo sakana. Unless he's a chole. Chole she'ein bo sakana. What's a chole she'ein bo sakana? How did I define that for you already? The guy can't get out of bed. The guy is a chole she'ein bo sakana. Then he can do it. So therefore he said, the prohibition is only if you're not a chole. But if you're a chole, right? If you're a chole, then you're allowed to do it. And then he refers to other places defining it. Or if you're in a situation you need to continue, so therefore that you don't atrophy or you don't go backwards in terms of your progress. So he says that if it's a case that you're going, that not doing it will cause you to go backwards, then you can continue. Or if you're a cholos. So again, so This is very interesting, especially in terms of everything else we've seen till now. And now let me get through footnote 95 with you. He quotes a book, he quotes all the places that said you can't do it, because on top he said, don't do, you're not allowed to do occupational or physical therapy. So he quotes all the people say that you can't do it. And he writes, the imitchil lefnei Shabbat, there is an opinion that says if you started before Shabbat, v'chola hamitztar v'shochev b'mita, and if somebody doesn't feel well, he's sick and he's in bed, right, and in pain, the ein lahachmir kishenasa yedei nachri. If there's a non-Jewish therapist doing it, then you certainly should not be machmir. So somebody had asked that before, so that's interesting. And then he says to take a look in another book called Nishmat Avraham, Professor Avraham, take a look there, where he writes, Sheherich be'inyan zeh, vivi b'shem hagon u'shlomo zaman orabach, shemutar l'chola zeh, who's the chola? We're talking about somebody who's in pain, in bed. La'asot physiotropia afilu imishtamesh b'mishkalot kedei lechazek et hashririm, that you're allowed to do it even if you're going to use weights. Right? U'v'sefer Or L'Tzion, matir la'asot isui, that if you have somebody who's in pain and it's decided that a massage will help them feel better, then it's allowed. Now, first of all, I think that this is fascinating. Why is this person doing it in such a case? He's doing it for refuah. Why can't you normally do it? If you're going to sweat, why can't you do it? Because it's refuah. But over here, in such a case, if you're not going to sweat, so then, what does it come down to? According to the Rambam, it's allowed. Over here, we see, again, another echo of this tension. Do you follow Rashi or do you follow the Rambam? It's a Dindra Banan. Again, let's be honest with all this. Again, we're talking about a rabbinic prohibition, not like putting lipstick or something. We're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition. Being a rabbinic prohibition, I really have to ask myself, am I going to be machmir according to every shitat rishonim? I can assure you that there are those who bring back the Rabbeinu Hananel and say, hold it, if you're going to sweat, then you're not allowed to do it. And you were right before. That is pretty close to what the Rambam said. And why should there be any difference? If I'm going to cause myself to sweat, according to the Rambam, if my intention is to sweat, so then why should it be any different if it's doing it by a massage, you're doing it by calisthenics?
What is the purpose of the sweat?
Right. Correct. But we're dealing with the rabbinic prohibition. Being that's a rabbinic prohibition, any time a person is going to be in a serious health situation, it's then going to be very easy to allow the rabbinic prohibition. So therefore, we shouldn't be surprised, maybe you should be happy, you shouldn't be surprised that he says if somebody's in bed and in pain, you're allowed to give them a massage. And he said, and it was beautiful, he said, because you're not trying to make them sweat. Look, anything which is light, a light kind of massage, which my suspicion is if you know what you're doing, then a light kind of massage will work anyway. That's certainly going to be allowed. If somebody doesn't feel well, see, you're forcing me to do what I didn't want to do. If somebody doesn't feel well, then it's not so hard to follow the Elia Rabba, to follow the Rambam, and to say the halach is like the Rambam unless you're trying to sweat. Normal circumstances, the Shulchan Aruch brought both opinions. The Magen Avraham seems to be saying, it sounds like we follow both opinions. But that's exactly the answer that we saw in the Sri Dayesh. That's what it depends on. Do we assume that both opinions are correct, or do we only follow the Rambam in this? Somebody doesn't feel well, that may be a good enough reason. Just because somebody, you know, for the sake of pleasure, it may be a little bit harder. But even then, I would say that a light massage should be allowed. It's only going to be a real strenuous, vigorous massage should be not allowed according to Rashi, and only in such a case would I think that there's a reason to be machmir. Yeah.
In general, not only with respect to massages and oils and all the rest of it, would you make a distinction between hakalah or rifuah? Because the whole question of what is rifuah and how much is going to cure him or make him feel better and so on, is a much bigger issue.
Correct. And again, I'll say the problem with refuah is more connected to this idea of perspiration, because they understood that to make somebody sweat, that's something which is part of the refuah. And they were afraid. That's what the Mishnah Berurah told us. They were afraid that if you don't do it, that if you're allowed to do it this way, then they'll think you can also take medication in order to make somebody sweat.
That was a different question, too.
Right. So I'm saying that seems to be, according to the Mishnah Berurah, what the consideration is. Whether or not you can do other things that will make you sweat, including What am I going to say? Walking or jogging or running, right? That will be neder talk about next week.